But what should our lives be, rather than this hurried, harried, hustled, and harassed, chronic and increasing diminution of our possibilities that we are coerced into accepting as our daily gruel by the continuous suppression of this very alternative we ever strive to make? We're going to be fleshing this out over the coming weeks in exploring our concept of voice. Focusing on voice is strategic in many senses, not least of which being it's the best reply to power's belief that it eliminates dissent surgically by concentrating on those who speak, who've seen through the illusion of rule and use their recovered true selves to raise a call of resistance to their brothers and sisters. We have to multiply the numbers of people who from within the shelter of and energized by their core selves, the group, are doing just this, organizing discussions and bringing into being and speaking out loud about the alternative. What is anti-authoritarian is a complicated or rather deep question, which now that we're reading Alice, we can see is the same question as one which Giovanni Arrighi also asks in his follow-up article. What is anti-systemic? The answer argued in these pages is not only that as we reframe, reclaim our inner, the outer manifestation shifts, but also that Arrighi is right to bring again to our attention Gramsci's concept of the passive revolution. We've said that the role of the state is to create scarcity in order to force us to work. And this, by the way, this is exactly what Bentham said, exactly. And sad to say, there is a very good illustration of this being done currently to the Chinese people in a cynical state-sponsored copying of the lure to take on debt so to impose austerity, privatization, discipline scam that we've all had imposed on us globally. But the global state statesmen don't want to rely on the debt mechanism, the money lever alone. That's why they're so obsessed with weather control. They've seen, most notably in Cuba, that if a people can feed itself, it can escape the debt slavery motel called the global economy. So I'm sure their reasoning goes, to really achieve a global control, you have to keep exclusive hold on the keys to the pantry. So you buy up arable land in Africa, Central and South America, reduce numbers in the Middle East, eliminate the powerful earth connected globally. Ensure the beat down remainder are thoroughly quiescent. Buy off the more privileged with nice sounding rhetoric and cool toys. So we made that point about the state existing to create scarcity in a recent show, which also made reference to Gramsci's passive revolution that unfolds and engulfs in myriad waves concurrent. The two points together suggest that a state cannot play that leadership role expressed by the words Piedmontese function in our freedom wave. Not if we're to grow up as a global people. It, that which springs to action, is only anti-systemic when anti-systemic by conscious intent eschews all particularisms, is anti-systemic in depth, is the result of inner development, and sees long within both inner and outer histories and manifestations. The passive, and by the way, I posted an excerpt from that earlier show from March 22nd, 2015, so hope you had a chance to listen. The passive revolution concept is useful because that's how our thought develops in myriad waves concurrent. Once we bring ourselves into contiguous relation, side by side, in thought and action. How will you know the pitch of that great bell, too large for you to stir? Let but a flute play neath the fine mixed metal. Listen close till the right note flows forth, a silvery rill. Then shall the huge bell tremble. Then the mass, with myriad waves concurrent, shall respond in low, soft unison. The beautiful poem from George Eliot. It may very well be that our right as a people to be happy may be the right note.